I am Margaret C. Berry, live in Austin, Texas, in a retirement community, Westminster. And I have been, I first came to Austin when I was a student, as a freshman in 1933, and then I left in 37 and didn't come back to work until I was working on my doctorate, and my major professor sent me to UT to do a study. So in 1960, which was a good year in a way, many ways, I came back and worked on my doctorate, and a year later I was employed by UT. This was right after Dorothy Gebauer had retired and Margaret Peck had been made Dean of Women. So they asked me to be Associate Dean of Women. And that was when we had both Dean of Women and Dean of Men. It was noontime, of course, and I had an appointment to get my hair done out at Tarrytown Beauty Salon. So I went down the back steps at our office, which was at probably people will remember that the Dean of Students office was in what is now the Gebauer Building, the original old engineering building, which is just to the northeast of the tower. When I got to the bottom of the steps, I heard what I thought were two firecrackers. And I thought, somebody still has firecrackers from July 4th. And I didn't think a thing about it. I was right under the tower. The tower was right up above me. But it so happened at that particular time, Whitman was over on the Guadalupe side, and I was going down the back side. My car was parked down the street, Not until I got out to the beauty salon did I know what was happening. And, of course, they had the radios turned on and said, "Do you know what's happening?" Heavens no, it scared me. It really frightened me because I was afraid that he had probably gone through the main building and killed everybody down on the lower floors before he got to the top of the tower. No way to find out at that particular time. I called my parents, who lived out in Tarrytown, and told them where I was, and I said, "Now, I will come home. I won't go out there until we know what's happening. I'll come home after I get my hair done," which I did. And by that time, Whitman had been killed. So I rushed back to the campus to see what had happened. And, of course, we were all frightened and scared, and it was a terrible, terrible time. The Hogg Foundation was very helpful. The Hogg Foundation and the Counseling Center, after this all happened, got together and decided that we needed a 24-hour telephone counseling center because this young man had sought help, and he got a little, I think, at the counseling center, but not as much as he needed. So the counseling center, and with the help of the Hogg Foundation, got busy and organized a 24-hour telephone counseling. And they didn't want to put the office over in the counseling center. They didn't want students to know where it was. They wanted to be able for them to call in and get help. So they put it in the Dean of Students office. And I was asked to be the first coordinator of the 24-hour counseling center. We had four counselors, and I worked with these four counselors. And these four people were on duty on call day and night. We were the first telephone counseling center in the United States. And it is still in existence. I remember I even took Christmas breakfast to the person who was on duty. It was, I did other things, but these people were the ones who were the hard workers and who did take the calls. And sometimes a student would just call and say, "I just want to know if you were there." just to check. Now, of course, students know we have telephone counseling, and we're the oldest in the country and still going. They did such a good job. They did such a good job. And well, we know they did, or it wouldn't have continued. Hogg Foundation took a pretty big lead in telling us, and of course, Dr. Ransom was in office, and he was very knowledgeable and very good leader, and tried to keep peace as much as possible on campus, because some people were very angry, as you can imagine, that this would happen, that the university would let something like this happen. If this hadn't happened across the country, it was a terrible, terrible thing. And everybody was worried and thought, can this happen again soon? Or how can we prevent someone from going to the top of the tower and doing this sort of thing? So all of that had to be worked out. And it took a long time, it took a while, with a lot of heartaches in there. Among all of us, especially who were employed and who were working with parents and others to try to appease them. And it was sort of a period of quiet there, you can imagine. I don't know that anything really changed for me, because I was not personally affected by it. But of course, there were all those families that were, and our feelings went out to those families in support of them. But it was, what can we do to prevent this sort of thing from happening? That was, I think, our big job. And that's just as recently we've, you know, worked to find out what can you do to keep someone from being attacked on campus. Well, it's wonderful that so many years passed with 50,000 students on campus, not counting the faculty, and we haven't had a murder or death until recently. It's amazing, amazing. But we don't want one anyway. We have to work to keep that from occurring.